John chapter 4 is where we'll be in the reading of God's word this morning. You got your place, say amen. So stand for the reading of God's word this morning. John chapter 4, breaking in about the 7th verse this morning. That's where we'll be. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples was gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Then the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. For whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered unto her, Whosoever drinketh of the water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let us pray. Father, I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, God, that you will open our hearts and our ears today to receive your word. God, I ask you to hide the man of God behind the shadow of the cross. You'd speak through these stammering lips, Lord. These lips, Lord, that don't know anything but you, Lord, and you crucified. God, if there's any preaching done, it'll be you, not me. God, help us today. Help somebody in the next few moments receive and respond to your word. We'll love you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. We'll let the children 6 and under go to children's church right now if you want to. Children 6 and under can go to children's church. Here we see Jesus, he's left Judea heading to Galilee and takes time to go through Samaria to speak to the Samaritan woman. This woman, which by culture was hated by the Jewish people because she was part of a mixed race called the Samaritans. She was also living in open sin, and they were to be rejected. No responsible Jewish man would have been talking to this woman under these circumstances. But I'm glad that Jesus did. I'm glad that Jesus did. I'm glad that Jesus has changed all things. Amen? Nothing has ever been the same since Jesus came along. Can I get an amen from you this morning? I want to preach on this morning a title, simply entitled, There's a hole in my bucket. There's a hole in my bucket. And I'll explain that to you as we go along. There are three things I want to help you see today to help you to become a better person, a better church member, and mainly a better child of God. I hope that will help you in this chapter that we're about to explore. But there's some things that you must realize here what Jesus is doing. And it's a twofold meaning today because we can see Jesus reaching out to this woman. But I want you to take this on physically this morning. I want to talk about you too. We need to reach out to people and to help people in desperate times. Can I hear from you? And how can we do that? The first thing is we're going to have to love people. The Bible says in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This is a commandment from the Lord that we love one another. Yesterday I was reminded about how much love people have for one another. And it wasn't good, especially in a vehicle. And you get a lot of people one place, there ain't much love behind a vehicle or in a vehicle. You're laughing this morning because you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. We ended up down in Pigeon Forge yesterday and come to find out it was Rod Run. Exactly. It was horrible. Dollywood wasn't too bad. It wasn't that crowded. There's all downtown drinking and having their parties and admiring their possessions. But we done a foolish thing and decided to go downtown and eat last night amongst all that mess. And it probably took us 30, 40 minutes to drive 2 miles. And my patience was really tried. And I thought, where's the love for people? Where's the compassion and the caring for people? Where's the part where you stop and let 5 other vehicles go instead of you running in front of everybody and running somebody up on the sidewalk? Why don't you take the time to stop and let them go? Am I talking to myself this morning? I know how it is, because we all want to get somewhere. We want to go fast and we want to get there, and I want to get in front of everybody first because it's all about me. This is the way it goes. But Jesus says, this is my commandment, that we love one another. In this day of time, we need to love one another. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do toward you. We need to abound in His love, grow in His love, and ask God to increase that love in us. If we're born of God, we're born of love this morning. We're not born of envy, strife, and hate, but we're born of love. Hebrews 13:1 says that brotherly love continue, to be not forgetful, to entertain strangers, for they're there. We have entertained strangers when we don't even know it. We've entertained angels unaware. And we thought they were just strangers. They could be angels. That person that you've cut off, that person you didn't show friendliness to, that person you didn't show love to, that might be an angel unaware that God sent by just to see what you would do. Wouldn't that be terrible if we treated them awful? That'd be awful. But we don't think about that. And here we see that the disciples are gone away to buy meat into the city, and Jesus goes out of His way. This is not the normal way He would be going, but He goes out of His way because He knows there's somebody that needs some help. There's somebody needs some guidance. There's somebody that needs some love. And we see here that Jesus has met the woman, the Samaritan woman, at the well. And she, this woman here, we'll find out later on in this chapter, she's a woman of ill repute. She, no doubt, it doesn't say in the Scriptures, but she's an attractive woman. She's a very liberal woman. She's very voiceful. And she's lashing out all of a sudden at Jesus right off the bat. He says, give me a drink. And she has a smart aleck answer right off the bat. You know, it's middle of the day and she's gone there to draw water. And here's a man, a Jewish man. And she said, how is it that you being a Jew would ask a drink of me? And she didn't have any compassion, anything. She just lashed right off the bat. And we're going to find out what kind of woman she is here in just in a moment. Let's look at verse 15. This woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Here comes the hard part. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In this saith thou truly. He called her out right where she's at. If we're going to get right with God and have the right love in our life, we're going to have to get clean before God this morning. James 2 and 8, the Bible says, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you'll do you well if you'll do that." Here Jesus has went out of His way to show this woman compassion and show her love and try to teach her something, and she's trying to pull the wool right over His eyes. You know, she's more or less saying, you know, give me this water. If you talk about that water being so good, you give that water to me. He says, okay, I'll give you that water. Go get your husband and bring him, and I'll give you some water. A lot of times we want to approach the throne of God filthy, dirty in our sins, but we don't want to get right with God, but we want to call ourselves a Christian. We want to go out and live in the world and do the things of the world, but when it comes down to the house of God, living for God, we want to claim that we're children of God. But all week long, we're living like hellions. We're drinking the devil's brew. We're talking the devil's talk, and we want the blessings of God, and we want to come down to the house of God and act like everything's all right. Everybody's shouting and praising God, and all this worshiping's going on. You're sitting there cold as crowd, wondering what in the world is going on. It's because where you're living at. She come to the well, and she was trying to manipulate the master and say, give me this water. If there's water that I'll never thirst again, give it to me. I'd like to have that water. He said, okay, go get your husband and bring him here. You may be sitting here in this church today and say, I'd like to have the blessings of God. I'd like to be able to play the French harp before the church. I'd like to play the guitar before the church. I'd like to sing before the church. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. I'll tell you what you're going to have to do. It's going to take a life walking with God, and God would honor your life, and you honor God, so God's blessings will be upon your life, and you can do these things for God. Can I hear from you this morning? You know why you can't get the blessings of God in your life? We've all got a bucket in our life. We all have a bucket. I know this is a trash can, but we'll use it as a bucket this morning. We've all got a bucket in our life, and we want the things that we do for God to matter. And I want to put good things in my bucket that God has given me. And I want it to grow, and I want it to prosper, and I want it to matter. But if I go out and live in the world and act like the world and try to do the things of the world, it'll put a hole in my bucket. The devil will knock a hole in your bucket, so everything you're trying to do right will never amount to nothing. Everything that's done in vain won't mean nothing. I want a pure heart before God, that one day when I stand before Him, that my deeds can be poured out before Him, and they can be tried by the fire that comes out of His eyes, and all that was done in vain will be burned away with, but everything that was done from the purity of heart, I'm glad it'll be there one day after a while. Why? Because there wasn't a hole in my bucket. It's because I served God and I loved God, and every time the devil comes around trying to knock a hole in my bucket, I said, oh no. This is my bucket, not yours. The devil will try to knock a hole in your witness. Can I get a witness from you? He will. He'll try to steal your joy. He'll try to ruin your testimony to where you can't do nothing for God. I'm not talking about like some folks will say that you're going to lose your salvation. I'm glad that when I come down to an old-fashioned altar and I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I accepted Him into my life. He put a seal upon my life that the devil can't do nothing with. Can I get a witness from you this morning? I'm glad He's tried to steal everything from that time on, but I'm glad He can't touch me. I'm secure in the Lord. I'm blessed in the Lord. His hand is upon me, and I'm glad the devil can't do nothing with it. But now He can steal your joy. He can snatch that right out from under you. And He starts by the love that we have for people. I'm glad that people are my life. I love you this morning. I pray for you and ask God to help me. And I look over each one of you and I ask God to bless your life and the needs that you told me you got. I'm praying earnestly that God will meet those needs. Why? Because I love you this morning. And I'm concerned about you. I love you so much that I would be in prayer for you. Why? Because Christ commands me to love you. And we're to love one another. He's showing this love towards her. And if you're going to do something for God, you're going to have to come clean for God. We can't live a life of ill repute before the Lord and before the world. It breaks my heart to see it, how Christians have let the standard down so far that you can't even tell if Christians are Christians anymore. Well, I sit down this week, I listen to the radio. I love music. I love all kinds of music. I don't like the world's music, but I love music. I love bluegrass music. I like southern gospel music. I like all different kinds of instruments. I like to hear the music. But there's a seducing spirit in music, I'm going to tell you this morning. And I want my witness to be a good witness before the world. And I want to do the things that would honor God. If I was playing down at Hog Wild last night, you wouldn't think much of me this morning. It's getting quiet in here right now. There's something called guarding a testimony. We all have a testimony in our life, and we need to guard it. We need to come out from among the world. The Bible says, "And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." The problem is we don't want to come out from among the world. We want to be part of the world. Now, I have to be in the world, but I don't have to be of the world. Here we see this woman, she's going to draw water. And Jesus goes to her and meet her. He's met her where she is at. She didn't come where he was at. He met her where she was going to be. He knew where she was going to be. So he went right where she was at and met her. I'm telling you all, every one of you this morning, God has met you this week right where you're at. And it ain't just here this morning. He met you at the house this week. He met you on the job this week. Everything that you went through this week, God has been right there with you and met you in that place. Can I hear from you? He's met you there. And he's wanting something out of your life. You're going to have to come clean before God and surrender your life to God so God can use your life. You're going to have to get out of that sinful life that you're in. If you want God's blessings upon your life, get the sin out of your life. And God will bless you this morning. God will bless you in your life. We must have love for those around us and have compassion. The definition of love is a feeling of devotion and adoration to God and His people. Here we see the greatest example of love through Christ meeting this woman. The disciples were dumbfounded that the Master was talking to this woman. This woman of ill repute. He's a Jew and he's talking to this Samaritan woman. I'm glad he told us as ministers of the gospel to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't tell me just to come to Vickers Chapel and preach the gospel. He told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How do I do that? I do that through my witness. I do that by showing people love. I do that by living right before God. I try to do the things that honor Him and live for Him, that will bless His name, will honor His name, and honor the church. Why? I have a great responsibility as a pastor, as a child of God, as a father. I have an obligation to live for God, that He may be honored with my life. And it ain't just me, church, but it's you. It's you, my friend. It's all of you. We've got to live clean before God. Not only do we see Jesus showing love, we see Him showing mercy. He's asked her, now go get your husband and bring him. And all of a sudden, she's faced with a decision. What do I do now? Oh, I know how I'll do it. I don't have a husband. Ain't you glad that Jesus knows everything? He was there when you had the thought. He was there when you committed the wrongdoing. He was there through the whole thing. Did you ever realize, I found this out young in life as a child. Mom and Dad always did tell me, if you tell a lie, it takes another lie to cover that lie up. And then it takes two more lies to cover those two lies up. And the next thing you know, it's a mountain. But she thought she could probably manipulate the Master here, and she said, I have no husband. He said, in that you have said well, because the one you have now is not yours. She probably thought, oh no. Who told him that? No doubt this morning you may be sitting here and something that the Lord's bringing out this message, you may say, how did He know that? How did He know I've been doing that? How did He know I went there? How did He know I said that? I don't know nothing about it. I'm just telling you what the Lord is whispering in my ear. I'm telling you this morning, God has brought this message to you because I didn't know what I was preaching this morning until I got up here. I had a title, but I didn't really have a message. This is straight from God this morning, so it's free of charge. It won't cost you a thing. You're going to have some mercy like the Master has had here. He's giving mercy to her. Go call your husband. I don't have one. You this morning, I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what kind of sin you're living in, but God sees every bit of it. You may want to do things for God. You may have been born again, and you may say, I want to do things for God, but my life is a mess right now. I can't do this for God because I'm in this mess and I'm in that mess. If you know you're in that mess, do something about it. Give it to God. Get your life right. Get it all before God and give it to Him. Say, God, I'm sorry. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. From this day forward, I'm going on for Jesus. And God will bless your life. But over in Matthew 5 and 7, He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, we can stand back and judge people all day long. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. That's wrong what you're doing. We can stand back and point fingers all day long how wrong everybody is. Boy, you're wrong. You're wrong. Everybody's wrong. But when you point that finger, there's always three pointing right back at you. You've heard that old saying. So we're all guilty. We're all guilty before God. We need to come clean before Him today. Psalms 103, verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous, plenteous in mercy. He has mercy this morning no matter where you're living. He has mercy on you this morning. Ephesians 2 and 4, the Bible says, but God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us. There He shows us the love again. Even through our wrongdoing, He shows us love, that He's here with us. He's not here to beat you down. He's here to make you a way out of the mess. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? He's here to make a way out for the life that you're living. He wants to bless you today. I'm going to tell you this morning, if I don't tell you, the devil will tell you an earful. He loves you this morning. He don't want you to be miserable. He don't want you to live defeated. He wants you to live a victorious life. The Lord does. The definition of mercy is to be kind and forgiving. If you've seen somebody sin a sin, ye that are spiritual, go and try to restore that one. Brother, I saw that what you done over there, and you know, that's not really good. But I'm here to help you and tell you I love you. I'm not here to beat you down. I'm here to pick you up and let you know that God loves you. And try to help that brother along the way. Oh no, we do it a different way. Let me tell you where the Baptists do it. Can I tell you where the Baptists do it? Make a mistake. They'll stomp you in the mud and leave you for dead and call somebody and say, you know what? You ought to go down there and kill him for what he's done. I'd cast him out. I'd make him a somebody I wouldn't fool with. I'd never talk to him again. Is that the love of God? Is that the mercy of God? No. That's the Baptist way. Boy, I didn't get an amen on that. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. And it's in every denomination. And did y'all realize that denomination is of the devil? That's man-made stuff. It wasn't of God. We're God's church. We're His people. Denomination has divided more people than anything that I know of. I'm glad for our convictions. I'm glad where we stand in God. But we're to love all men and to show them the love of God and mercy. And when we see our brother and sister fail, ye that are spiritual should go and pick them up and help them and show them the way. All right, we've got young people that's been saved in here and they need guidance. They need help. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do things that are wrong. And ye that have been in it a long time, you guys that have the knowledge and the wisdom how to overcome, you should be there to help and pick them up. Just stand back on, yep, I knew it. I know they'd fall. And call people and tell people, say, look how they fell. Look what they, get on the phone. Everybody loves to get on the phone, tell people, look what they done, look what they done, look what, you don't do stuff like that. We pray for one another. We have love and mercy for them. Number three, we have to have grace. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift. It is a gift of God. He has given us a great gift today, and that's to love one another. Here in this chapter, we see that Christ is showing her compassion. He's showing her love. He's showing her a way out. He says, even though you're living in sin, I'm going to tell you what to do. You need to come out of that. You need to get rid of all them men that you've been running around with. You need to follow me. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't know what you've been running around with. I don't know what you've been doing. I don't know what you've been into. But you need to put all of that aside. And you need to seek God with your whole heart. If you're ever going to see your children saved, you're ever going to see your family saved, your companions, all those that are around you, those that you love, if you want to have an influence on their life, you're going to have to surrender to God and give Him totally your life if you're going to be blessed. Titus 2:11 says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Salvation appeared to her that day and told her there was a way out. Even though the devil had knocked many holes in her bucket and nothing she was doing was making any difference whatsoever, he may have done the same thing to you. Seemed like everything that you go at falls by the wayside. Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't have to worry about this. I just do my thing. That's exactly the way the devil wants you to think. He wants you to live defeated. He wants you to be miserable. And as long as we're listening to him, we'll be a miserable people. I'm telling you this morning, God loves you. And He doesn't want this to happen to your life. He wants you to come out from among that and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's what He wants us to do in our life. But we can't do it living in the world. Ephesians 1:7 says, If whom we have redemption through His blood for the forgiveness of sin according to His riches and His grace. We have forgiveness through Him, and it's abounding. I mean, it's full. It's full of grace and mercy. All we got to do is say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I've made a mistake. If you'll just come honest before God, He'll forgive you today. He loves you today. Here, this Samaritan woman saw something different. Now, she done had five husbands. And by my mind's eye, you know that for some reason she's attracted, or the men are of that place, Samaria, is attracted to this woman. There ain't none of the women like her. She's not of good report of the city. So she's going to the well to get water again about midday. She's doing what she's always done. The path is war to the well. Going to do the same old thing today that we done yesterday. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you've always got. You'll never have nothing different in your life. You've got to step out of your comfort zone so God can move in your life. And then finally we see down in verse 28, the Bible says, The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, She said to the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Come see a man that knows everything about my life. Church, I'm going to tell you today, he knows everything about your life and everything about my life. The devil wants to defeat you. He wants to throw a stumbling block before you, and he could use the closest one to you. Now listen to me. The closest one to you to hinder you. You know, of the 30 years that we've almost been married, the devil's even used my wife to be a stumbling block to me. And then he's turned right around and used me against her. But I'm glad that we've tried to walk with God close enough that when we see God, see the devil doing that, we'll trust God and we'll come together and pray and say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap at you. I'm sorry that I said that. Let's forgive one another. Let's pray. And we've always tried to overcome when that happens. How about you? You should never go to bed mad at one another. If you do, shame on you. You should never do that. You should allow God to minister to you and help both of you. Pride goeth before the fall, is what the Scripture says. Yeah, you don't realize what she said to me. Boy, that made me mad. I'm puffed up. I'm going to be mad for a week. I'll show her. I'll mow the yard for a month. She'll look right at you and say, who cares? You have to mow it sometime along if it's that deep. You're out there the weed eater, and you're madder than a hornet because you're having to mow weeds because you're being stubborn, wouldn't do it. And what you didn't realize, the devil put a hornet's nest right in the middle of the yard, and then you got to mow with the weed eater, and then they eat you up. See, you caused yourself all that trouble. If you just got over it from the... Boy, am I talking to myself this morning. I must be. Because everybody's like... We've got to recognize the devil when he shows up, church. Here, this woman, she's living an irreputable life. She don't want nothing to do with God. She's going to do her own way. But she has come right face to face with the Master. I'm going to tell you, someday you're going to come face to face with him. And we're going to give an account for every deed that's been done in the body. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we're going to answer for it. And God told me through this message, a brother said something to me the other day. I won't say who it is. Boy, it really spoke to me. There's times that we have services, man, and the winds are blowing, and it's wonderful, and you can't hardly take it, and everybody don't know what to do, and it's like, wow, that was all awesome. Then we have services like this where everybody's got to think. You know, you can't always sow seed in the wind. Sometimes you have to sow it when the wind ain't blowing. And that's what God has spoken into my spirit and told you today, that you will never prosper in your life for God until you come clean. So I wonder this morning, I wonder what your bucket looks like. Is it full of holes? Or is it a solid bucket? Can you take what the Lord has given you today? As the Lord wants to feed into your spirit and into your life and bless your life, and He does. He wants to bless your life, but it's going to take you coming clean before God. I ask you a question this morning. If we was to stand before God right now, I'm asking every one of you this. For what you have done this week, these last 6 days since we saw each other last, could you stand before God and say, God, I did everything that you asked me to do. I tried to live as close to you as I could. I made failures, Lord, but I tried my best. Could you do that? Or would you have to hang your head in shame, knowing that all the disappointment, and all the failures, all the things He asked, that you didn't do any of it? Someday, that's the way it'll be. When we least expect it, He's going to call and we're going to give an answer. I wonder today why every head is bowed and every eyes closed.